T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John, Evan Roberts here in New York. How you doing?
Doing well, Evan. Thanks, as always, for having me on the show today. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thanks for coming on. First of all right, from Friday to today, my confidence of there being a baseball season has wavered just a little bit. For you right now in this moment, on the soft deadline of June 1st, with the two sides being what feels like many miles away, where is your confidence level right now that they work out a deal?
My confidence, Evan, is still way above 50-50. It really is, just simply because they're at least talking about the right thing, the economics. It appears that they will find a way to agree on the public health dynamics of the situation. And while it does appear that the two sides are quite far apart, I believe that there is time to address it this week. I really believe that as long as they have an agreement in the next week to 10 days, that it's still feasible to have a season. And I really think, Evan, that both sides realize now the gravity of the moment and the downside that would exist for years if they don't play. And so I think for all those factors, while the situation on the surface of it does seem dire in many ways at the moment, I am still optimistic that eventually there's going to be a deal.
Well, you hit on something, and that is what I think we all know as fans, and that's if you shut down this season over money, the long-term ramifications are going to be awful. Are you sure that every owner understands that, or are there enough owners that look at the short-term gains of not having to pay players, not really factoring in that baseball in 2021 and 2022 may look different if you don't have a season in 2020?
Exactly. I really think that the owners realize that, and I think the players, if they're honest, do as well. Because if there is, let's just say theoretically, no season this year, what's free agency going to look like this winter? And how willing are teams going to be? Because remember, baseball, yes, is the only major sport we have in our country without a salary cap. It also doesn't have a salary floor. And so there's not much there in terms of what you can do to compel an ownership group to spend if after the season the owner says to the union or to the agent, hey, my revenues this year were, for all practical purposes, zero. Mm. So how can I invest in my roster for years to come? I really think, Evan, a couple things. Number one, you spoke to the long-term effects of this. I was at an event once when one of the speakers made the point, talking about how American sports preferences tend to evolve with generations. The point was made that in the 1950s, the three most popular sports were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. And that is not the top three anymore.
No.
So while it may appear that preferences are firm and enduring and will withstand turbulence, to some extent that's true. But our country has changed a lot in 70 years. And the preferences in sport have changed a lot in 70 years. And there is no guarantee here that if there is no season and other sports do play, that people are just going to snap right back into doing what we've done in the past.
Right.
I think one of the most important things that is being discussed here, Evan, that I think is actually mutually beneficial, is the notion of seven teams making the playoffs in each league. Because when you do that, when you go from five to seven, and when that first round is not just one wild card game, but in fact a play-in series, the algorithms that guide so many decisions by right now, Evan, that when it comes to spending money and when you make a targeted free agent decision to boost your payroll, you do it all with the marginal increase in your expectations of making the playoffs. And when you have seven playoff spots instead of five, I'm telling you, it doesn't maybe sound like a huge deal, But for the executives that run these teams and the algorithms that really guide a lot of their decision-making, for them to tell an owner, listen, if I spend the extra money to get this player, I'm going to improve our chances by X amount, the answer in the future will more often be, yes, sign the player. And that will, whether the owners or players fully realize it right now or not, that is going to have a dramatically positive effect on the business in years to come, but only if they play this year.
We're talking to John Morosi about baseball and hopefully the lead to real baseball in 2020. Now, I think we all understand that with offers, you're asking for things that you're probably not going to get. All right, the owners kind of knew that when they made the offer. Same with the players. When it comes to games, I get why the players would want more games. I mean, it benefits baseball fans that there are more games, but obviously they get more money since they agreed to a prorated deal. Is expanding the schedule from 82 to 115 or 110 or whatever it is A, that realistic, and is that a real thing that the players are trying to get, or just something they're throwing in there as part of a traditional negotiation?
I think it's a combination of both. To offer the additional games played, I believe, for the players was a show of their strength, a show of their belief in their own bargaining position to say, I'm not going to give anything back, and if anything, I want more money, based on the fact that they would be playing more games, in fairness, on a prorated basis. The issue is that MLB is concerned about the playoffs and the notion of the possibility of a second spike in cases, which many experts believe is likely, and the danger that could pose to the postseason happening. And we all know that the baseball gets a large percentage of the revenue from the postseason, the TV ratings, the TV rights and advertising, everything involved in the postseason. So I think the one part that I took some confidence from was the notion that the players said in that proposal reportedly that they would agree to have some of their salary deferred into the future if the postseason would be canceled. Mm. That's a really important notion because that says that the players are willing to view themselves as partners of the owners in the endeavor of the postseason and realizing how important it is to the overall money-making dynamic of the league. That, to me, is a starting point. It's good that that's now on the table. And would that on its own make Commissioner Manfred more comfortable with playing the regular season all the way through the end of October and then beginning the postseason November 1? I'm not sure of that. But at least it creates some opportunities to bargain off of that. I really think that, Evan, as much as there is pessimism, the fact that that was included in the offer to me was a ray of sunlight.
When does the movement have to start? You know, the owners obviously got back the offer. They're digesting it. When does the next step occur?
I do think the owner's next offer will be very telling. And to see where the movement is, how much movement there is. And I think the next offer from the owners will communicate one of two things. If they're willing to take this to what could be the deadline, which might be a week from now, might be 10 days from now, and say, hey, we're going to have a last best offer scenario, does ownership set a firm deadline and say, listen, if we can't have a deal by this date, we're not going to play this year? Do they offer concessions? I think a lot will be communicated by the owner's next offer. And I'll say this too, Evan. The fact that there was an offer on each side in the last week, they are talking. This is not a situation where there's radio silence and a lot of public threats back and forth. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a difference of opinion, but I'm seeing communication. And as long as I'm seeing communication and a shared understanding of everything that's at stake, I'm going to remain very hopeful because I think simply both sides do realize how much there is to lose by not playing and potentially how much there is to gain by playing. And we all realize that on your network, on your great show and others, this is the time to talk baseball before football starts. And American public is going to remember, Evan, if baseball comes back the right way 6 weeks or so before football starts, we're going to have a lot of baseball talk and a lot of really strong baseball emotional connection. But the time to do that and strike that deal is now upon us.
I'll tell you another area where it's dangerous. You mentioned that basketball and hockey are supposed to come back, assuming that, you know, health officials allow it and the health is there. We're going to have NBA and NHL. both sports are also going to probably have to push back next season too, which means next July, baseball's going to have competition. It's not just the NHL and the NBA go away in the middle of June. I think we're looking in the short term of them having to deal with competition all the way potentially through August, and you don't want that. And it's going to be tougher to deal with that competition if you've just shut down the 2020 season.
Very good point. And we're about to have a very fluid schedule, I think, for all of us. And bear in mind, Evan, when you think about it, and that's where that late fall window becomes really interesting. It certainly is frightening if you consider the possibility of a second spike in cases. But let's assume that the NHL and the NBA finish their seasons in August, September. Then they take a break for a couple months. You might be able to play, again, if the health situation allows for it, you might be able to play your World Series in November with zero competition from the NHL and the NBA, and really you're up against football, and that's it. So if things fall the right way, of course, and if we have good health, then there may be an opportunity in the fall. And to your point, think about next year. They'll probably see the Stanley Cup awarded in July, maybe early August, and then that flows right into the rescheduled Tokyo Olympic Games. So we've got a very, very busy calendar where the rhythms of our lives for sports, Evan, for as long as you and I can recall it, it's not that way anymore. It's going to be very, very fluid for the next year, year and a half.
How much, for most owners, do they need the players to give back? Obviously, prorated is not going to be enough. Whatever they discussed in March, things are different with it looking like there aren't going to be fans, if at all, in the stands this year. How much give back do you think the players are going to have to get to for the owners to be okay signing off on a deal?
Well, it's a great question. The firm answer is it's going to be different for every owner. And I would say this on the owner's behalf. The cuts to executive pay in the league office, the cuts to executive pay even for one of the wealthiest clubs in baseball, reportedly the Boston Red Sox last week, these are real cuts that are affecting people's livelihoods in a real way. And you would not be seeing owners cutting the salaries of a GM, an assistant GM, a club president, a club vice president, if this were not a serious time. And I think that to oversimplify and say, well, the owners, of course, they've always got a lot of money and they'll be fine. On some level, yes, they will be, but the health of the business long-term is also a consideration. And I do think we have to look and see the decisions they've made regarding executive pay, people that they're working very closely with and trusting a lot. If their pay is being cut substantially, I think that speaks to the gravity and the reality of the moment.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though, they can't win is cutting minor league baseball players' pay. And I thought the Nationals were embarrassed because they did it, and the players of the Nationals on the 40-man roster responded by saying, we'll pay for them ourselves, and then the Nationals had an about-face. I think that not paying minor leaguers, when you add up the money, it's not that big of a deal for billionaire owners. That's a bad look right now, John, for some of these teams doing that.
I agree, and that's where I saw the Royals, one of the smaller market teams, came out, and Dayton Moore, their GM, is one of the classiest people in baseball, and he made the right decision, and ownership made the right decision there to keep paying the players because of how important they are just to the overall morale of the organization. And that's where I really think, Evan, culture matters, and doing the right thing matters, especially for those who are in greatest need. And in the baseball context, our narrow piece of the world, those are the minor league players. And when you are an organization that does right by your young players and treats them the right way with the respect that they have earned through all their years in the game, I think that is noted, it's appreciated, and it has a really positive effect on the entire chemistry and feeling of the organization. And also, Evan, the opposite can be true as well.
All right, now I want to be a positive guy. When is it okay to be worried? At what date, John, without progress, would you tell everybody listening, uh-oh, now I'd start to get worried. There's no progress, and it's June blank. Now I'm starting to fear maybe they can't work this out. When is that?
I would say June 15th. I think if we don't have an agreement by then, I think it's fair to be worried. I really am optimistic here that they're still talking. The proposals have gone back and forth. Obviously, July 1 becomes difficult, but you could still have a meaningful season if you started July 15, and even later if you're able to play into the fall. So I really believe, Evan, that if we have a situation where there's an agreement in place by June 15th, we'll have a meaningful season, but again, time is truly of the essence to capture the emotions and the hearts and the minds of the American sports fans who are desperate for their teams to come back and come back every day, and baseball is the one sport that delivers that.
John, I appreciate it. Stay safe. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much. Love the conversation. We'll look forward to catching up again soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.